morning, everybody. Once again, I'd like to thank everyone for coming out on early on a Sunday morning to learn a few words of Torah. Before I begin the actual shiur, I'd just like to once again mention that the shiur is dedicated, with this series of shiurim, which is culminating today, is dedicated with the Nishmas Avram Zev and Yaakov, our dear friend, Dr. Abe James, and hopefully the words of the Torah and everyone's participation should be an aliyah for his neshama. Once again, I'd like to thank, obviously, Harvey Lichtman for all his efforts in arranging the shiur and promoting the shiur, as well as we'd like to thank Dr. Solomiak for his arranging the sponsorship in the Hollywood community, and many others who are involved, Ramali F. Friedman, who always is there to make sure that everything works, and has done a great deal behind the scenes to make this the series of shiurim possible. I'd like to also thank, although he's not here, once again, my good friend Rav Avi Wachshel, who really has gone to the greatest length to make his enormous collection of Sfarim and modern-day Shilas and Shuvas available to me at all times. For this year, I was at his house several times getting Sfarim, and even though on the Imam HaKomos you may only see a few, but those are just the ones that made the final cut, I had to go through many, many Shuvas to try to come with some degree of clarity. That being said, we arrive at the topic for today. Parsha Shmos speaks about the Golas Mitzrayim, the dark days that the Klal Yisrael spent, the Shibud Mitzrayim, right at the end of Vayechi. We read about it toward the end of Sefer Bereishis. The Torah details the arrival of the Bnei Yaakov, Yaakov Avinu himself and his family came to Mitzrayim. But those were the good days. The situation completely turns around in Parsha Shmos, and we learn about we read in the parasha about the terrible suffering that the Klal Yisrael went through. But we also, towards the end of the parasha, learn about the beginning of the Geula. And that is with Hashem appoints Moshe Rabbeinu to be the Goel. We spoke last week a little bit about the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was, not aware of this his entire life, that he sort of one day got the call that he's going to be the Mashiach of his era, he's going to be the Goel Yisrael at that time. And we read about the beginnings of the Geula, the beginnings of the Geula's Mitzrayim, which unfold over the next several parashiyas. So there is a well-known Medrash, which you could well be, people realize from the title of the Shir, and that is, the Medrash discusses what exactly was it that merited the Jewish people that they should be redeemed from Mitzrayim. So we have here, on the sheet of Maamar Kamos, this Medrash in Sefer Vayikra. This Maamar Chazal appears in various forms in several places, but the Medrash here, I think, says it the most clearly. Rav Huna Amar B'Shem Bar Kapora, B'Shvil Dalet Vora Niglu Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim. That the Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, were redeemed from Egypt because of four things, and the merit of four things. What were those four things? Shuoshinu es shmam, they did not change their names, the es lishonam, nor did they change their language. That when they stayed in Mitzrayim all the years, they kept the Jewish names. Right? Reuven, or whoever had carried the name Reuven, was Reuven at the beginning and was Reuven at the end. They did not adapt the Egyptian names. So too, they did not change their language. They spoke the Lashon HaKodesh, they spoke the Holy Tongue throughout that time. The Medrash also tells us, Lo Amru Lashon Hara, that they did not get involved in speaking Lashon Hara, which was a tremendous verse. And, Lo Nimtza Beinayim Echad Mehen Paretz Be'erva. They were not involved in any form of immorality, which was a remarkable accomplishment because Mitzrayim, the land of Egypt, although it was the main country in the civilized world of that time, but we are told that Mitzrayim was a place of tremendous immorality, and therefore the pressures of the culture of Mitzrayim were enormous, and yet the Am Yisrael stayed apart, and they did not get involved with that, they were not involved with Egyptian men, or with Egyptian women, they stayed completely to themselves, and therefore we have the fourth chusin that the Klal Yisrael had, which saved them. Ultimately, it was in the merit of these four things that Hashem took the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. It was these four things, Niglu Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. We have this also, we make mention of this in the Haggadah on Pesach night, where we read from the Parsha of Bikurim, which is in Parshas Kisavo. So we read there, the Pasuk says, by Yisham Lagoi, that when the Jewish nation were in Egypt, it says, by Yisham Lagoi, they were there as a nation. And if you may recall, the Drasha of the Haggadah, Melamed Shehayu Yisrael Mitzuyonim Sham, this teaches us that the Klal Yisrael were Mitzuyonim. Mitzuyonim by most of the Rishonim is interpreted to mean that they were distinct, that the Jewish people in Mitzrayim were distinct. They stayed apart from the Mitzrayim. They were Mitzuyonim Sham, and the reference here again is to these four things. So again, they didn't change their name, they didn't change their language, they didn't speak Lashon Hara, and they were not involved in immorality. We all find in another medrash the idea of Loshino is Malbusham, that they did not change their clothing, they did not take on the spoils of the Egyptians. So anyway, these were the schusim that got the Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And what I would like to speak about today, I originally had thought, when we came up with the idea for this year, I thought that maybe we'd try to touch on several of these points, but each one is a discussion in its own right. So I thought we would discuss something which is relevant, or which seems to be relevant even today, and that is the first one, Loshinu es Shmam, that they did not change their names, that they stayed with their names. If you look at the end of the Medrash says, Reuven v'Shimon Nachsin, Reuven v'Shimon Salkin, that they went down to Egypt with the names Reuven and Shimon, and they came out of Egypt with the names of Reuven and Shimon. Well, are you currently Yehuda Rufa, v'lo Reuven, Luliani, v'lo Yosef, Listus, right? We find they did not take on any of the non-Jewish names. This was a special merit that they had. And obviously, we have to ask ourselves the question that here we are, in the year 2009, and Baruch Hashem, there's a great yeshiva of Jews in many parts of the world, and we find it's very common that we do have, that we go by non-Jewish names, right? Everyone obviously is given a Jewish name, or hopefully is given a Jewish name at their bris, but the names that people commonly go by are English names. So what I would like to discuss today is that right? Is it wrong? Is there a problem with it? Is it l'chafil? Is it b'dievet? How does it stack up? So, in terms of this medrash, right? So it would seem that, you know, listen, if it's Loshino or Shmam, if that was the merit that got them out of Mitzrayim, so then we should probably follow suit. Right, today, as we discussed last week, right, we look forward to the Geula. So if we're looking forward to the Geula, and the Chazal tell us that the Geula from this Golus is going to very strongly parallel the Geula's Mitzrayim, so one would think, well, then we should really try as best as we could to copy these four things. And yet we find that we don't see a great effort made in this area, and I would like to discuss why not. From this message, it would seem that we should. We'll see about that in a minute. You're saying, I have a Jewish name. When they call me up to the Torah, they call me up by a Jewish name. So the fact that I go by the name, by the name George, that's no problem because they call me up to the Torah by my Hebrew name. We'll see about that in a minute. Okay, so what I would like to discuss is this point. Why is it that, or should we be careful about this? And from this medrash, it would certainly seem that we should. A stronger place, or a stronger reason, perhaps it's even a related reason for why we should be mocked on this, comes from the halacha, or that we have in the Torah, it's actually a mitzvah in the Torah, that we are told at the end of Parshas Kedoshim, the Torah tells us, "V'lochelchu b'chukos ha'goy," that a person should not go, we should not follow in the ways of the goyim. Right, we should not follow the ways of the goyim, and then further on, at the end of Parshas Kedoshim, we find another pasuk where Hashem says, "V'yitam li kedoshim," that you should be holy to me, ki kodesh ani Hashem, because I am holy. "V'atzil eschem min ha'amim li osli," The Avdil Eschem in Ha'am means I have separated you from the nations to be for me. I've separated you from the nations. Right? So this is these psukim form the mitzvah that we have in the Torah that one should not follow in the Chukas HaGoyim. One should not go in the Chukas HaGoyim. And if we look here, I have it on the sheet, the Rambam, the beginning of the 11th parak of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Rambam says, Ein Olchin B'Chukas HaGoyim, V'lo Midamim Lohem, one should not follow the ways of the Goyim, one should not in any way try to emulate them, V'lo B'Malbush, V'lo B'Seyar, not in the person's dress, not in the way a person wears their hair, U'Kayotze V'Hen, or other such similar things. Right, Shenema, how do we know this? Because it says in the Pasuk, Lo Seichu B'Chukas HaGoy, and then we have another Pasuk which says, B'Chukas Seim Lo Seilechu, and then we have a third Pasuk in Devarim which says, Yishomer L'Chot and Tinokesh Achreim, that one should be careful not to associate too much with the Goyim, because you may become ensnared in their ways. You may begin, an identification with the Goyim could lead a person to follow in the ways of the Goyim, and, you know, not that we're trying to say that all the Goyim are bad, but the reality is that the Klal Yisrael has been selected by Hashem, the Am HaNivchor has been given Tariag Mitzvahs, we have many Mitzvahs, and therefore there's a higher calling to a member of the Klal Yisrael. And therefore the Torah tells us that you have to recognize that, you have to be aware of that, you have to own up, we have to own up to the fact that we have been chosen by Hashem, right? Hashem says, I have separated you from the nations, meaning that even without saying that the nations are no good, but I separated you, you have to be different. You have to be different. And we answer to a higher calling. We answer to a higher calling, and therefore the association with the non-Jew, the association with the guy, could lead a person to miss out on that higher calling in the best case scenario, and in the worst case scenario, it could actually bring a person down completely. Right? We know today, just taking our world, you know, our times, the culture of the outside world, of the secular world is horrific, right? We live in a world with all kinds of kilkulim, all kinds of hashkosa, where we're a depraved world where certainly the fear exists that if a person is going to identify with the Goyim, so we will be brought into their ways of doing things. So the Rambam says over here that this is the concept, this is the mitzvah of Chukas HaGoyim. Now, what does this have to do with us? Now, you'll say that the Rambam here did not mention anything about having non-Jewish names. But if you flip over the sheet, there is a well-known tshuva that was written a little over 100 years ago by Maharam Shik. Maharam Shik, Rav Moshe Shik, was one of the great Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer, and the Chassam Sofer the Rav essentially of Hungarian Jewry, and not only was he that way, but he actively arranged that his Talmidim should fill as many positions in the Hungarian Empire as possible. And one of his greatest Talmidim was this man, Rav Moshe Shik, and he wrote Svarim. We have a number of Svarim from him. We have Chedushim on the Shas. But also he wrote Shilas and Shuvas, you know, different issues of Halacha which came his way. And someone here in Shuvah Kufstam Achtesh, I'm not going to read the whole thing inside, it's very fascinating, it's not printed here in its entirety, but the Maharam Shik was asked this question, is there a problem with a person giving their child a non-Jewish name? And, you know, you would think, all right, this is not the biggest shaila in the world, right? Where does this would sort of be a mellow discussion? But if you read even the first paragraph, you will see that the Maharam Shik gets very, very strongly worded, where he says that this is a terrible thing, and he says, in his opinion, he says that a few lines down, an incredible statement. He says he mentions the argument that was mentioned a few moments ago, that people say to him, you know, that people came to him and said that why can't my kid or myself, why can't I go by a non-Jewish name? After all, I have a Jewish name. I'm called up to the Torah by a Jewish name. So the fact that I go by a non-Jewish name, big deal, but I have a Jewish name. So the Maram Shik, responding to this, said, V'zeh davar hevel v'tipshus. The Maram Shik said, this is total foolishness. He says, ki b'vadai yesh v'zeh isa daraisa. Says the Maram Shik, an astounding thing, which, we're not stopping here, so don't get nervous just yet, right? But the Maram Shik says that his opinion, that this argument, that I get called up to the Torah by this name, so I have a Jewish name, he says that's ridiculous. Why? Because it's true you have a Jewish name, but if the name you go by is not a Jewish name, so then you are violating the Rambam of the mitzvah, the Torah, both Seichu v'chukas Hakoy. He says, because the person is supposed to, he brings here all the Sukkim, but after us come in Ahamim, Leosli. Right? Hashem says, I separated you from the nation. Right? He says, when we show me Alfinam the Sifri, and based on this and the Sifri, they weren't out, the Chazal determined, the Ein Rishon Lizamos Lahem Bishum Ofer, that a person is not allowed to emulate or try to be similar to the Goyim in any way. In any way, says the Maram Shik, therefore, in his opinion, it doesn't matter that a person has a Hebrew name, if they don't go by that, if they go by an English name, then in his opinion, not only is it wrong, but says the Maram Shik, in his opinion, this would be incredibly enough in Issei D'oraisa, and that's because of the mitzvah of Chukas HaGoyim and the pasuk Ba'avdol Eskam Li. It's very interesting, they say over a story, it was just said here recently, I don't remember where I heard it previously as well, but I don't recall where I heard it here recently, someone said over at the turn of the 20th century, the early 1900s, so one of the great gedolim in the world was the Slobodka Rosh Yeshiva, man by the name of Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein. And Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein at one point, being that he was Rosh Yeshiva, the major yeshiva, so he had to go the way of many other Rosh Yeshiva and travel abroad to raise funds for his yeshiva. So he came to America, and he stayed there for a while. It was, it wasn't easy to get around or to make connections, so he stayed in America for a good while. And someone corresponded with him and asked him, so what is your opinion of American Jewry? The Jews in Eastern Europe had heard that there was a great yeshiva of Jews, there was a great settlement of Jews in America, but nobody knew. There were all kinds of rumors going around, is it good, is it bad, what's the story? So the line that's attributed to him is that he said back, he said, the Jews in America know how to make Kiddush, but they don't know how to make Havdalah. And what he meant by that was that they know how to make Kiddush, meaning that they know how to do mitzvahs. Yeah, they're mitzvahs in the Torah that they know the tefillin and mezuzah, and they go to shul and to daven. But when it comes to Havdalah, he was not referring to the Havdalah ceremony that we had last night, but he meant in the bigger picture, the Havdalah separating themselves from the Goyim, he said that they don't know how to do. This is what he said. This is almost 100 years ago. But this is the concept. So this is, says the Maram Shik, very strongly, the truth is dated 1878. The Maram Shik said that in his opinion, this would be an Issei D'oraisa to do such a thing, which is absolutely incredible. But again, if you think, what's so terrible about it? He says because the Torah is very, very strong, very emphatic in the prohibition of emulating the ways of the Goyim, because of the fact that, number one, we are separated, that God separated us to answer to a higher calling, and number two, they bring the pasuk, Yishanu Lachok, and Tinoke Shachran, that if you follow the ways of the Goyim, you could very often be brought down. You could be brought down mightily. And therefore, we have to stay away. I just want to take a moment to mention, I heard a great story yesterday from Rabbi Yaakov Hanek, that in this regard, and this story pertains to an Adam Gadol who lived around the era of World War II, a man by the name of Rav Yonatan Steif. Rav Yonatan Steif was a big Gadol who lived in pre-war Europe, and then eventually he came over to America, and while he was still in Europe, he was asked the following shaila. He was a very big posek, he was a respected halachic authority, and he was asked the following shaila. A man came to him and said, Rebbe, I have a problem. What's the problem? He said, my name is Peretz. That's my name, Peretz. He said, my daughter is seriously dating a young man whose name is Fritz. Fritz, F-R-I-T-Z. Fritz, German name. And I want to know, he said, after all, I'm very careful. We know that there is an opinion that's fairly well known, of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid and the Sefer Chassidim, that a person should be careful not to marry, that a young man should not marry a girl who has the same name as his mother, or a young lady should not marry a boy who has the same name as the father. So he came and he said, I have a Shiloh, because my name is Pered, and his name is Fritz. And, you know, they're very similar. Is there any problem with my daughter marrying this fellow? So Rabbi Yonatan Shai thought for a moment, and he said, yeah, there's a problem. It's awesome. So this fellow, you know, I guess he was assuming he was going to get a heter. So he, you know, as often is the case, he turned to Rabbi Yonatan Shai and said, what? He said, come on, it's not the same name. This is Peretz, and this is Fritz. So it's not the same name. To which Rabbi Yonatan Shai said, I'll tell you. He said, you're right, it's not the same name. But if your daughter married someone named Fritz, before long, your name is also going to become Fritz, and then you're going to have a Shiloh. Okay. So therefore, on that basis, I say that it's awesome. So this is the idea. This is the idea of Tanting Naki Shacharet. You know, you get involved with the Goyim, and a person could be brought down. So the Maram Shik said that this is, that in no uncertain terms, the Maram Shik said that not only is it wrong, and as from the Medrash, you see that it's wrong. But the Maram Shik takes it to the next level and says not only is it wrong, but it's an Hitzvah, so it's biblically prohibited to do this. Okay, so what is that? Good point. Okay, good. Very good. So on that point, so we have, I found in the Sefer Tzofnas Haneach, again, Avi Waxel to the rescue, right, that we have, they have a small book of tshuvas that were written from one of the great Gedolim before World War II, the Rogatcha of the Gong of Yosef Rosen, and he was asked this very question, and he apparently was a Maram Shik follower, at least in this regard, but he said that there would be no problem if it was just a secular translation of a biblical name. So therefore, a person going by the name Abraham or Jacob or any of my own name, David, or a person called David, right, that would not be a problem, said the Rogatcha of Agon. This is found in Shuvah Tzofnas Haneach. And he, you know, so too by women's names, Sarah, Rachel, such names like that, there would be no problem because those are just English translations of biblical names, so you're not taking on a Jewish name, this is a Jewish name, right? It happens to be, you're using it in the English form. But any such thing like that, even nicknames, it would seem, should be in the same category, so therefore a person called Jack, you know, that would be Dave, these would not be an issue, according to this, yes. Yes.
So, going through, we have three colors. The other color is more or less speech something.
Yeah.
No last name, but the name of that color is David.
Right.
They speak kosher food. They say, why do you speak kosher food? They don't want to eat because of keep, not to eat your keeper.
Right.
They say, why are you talking about it? And they are the three kudus. How do you know? And you, I say, if you are David, and your last name,
right.
And he was completely the other way, as the people the boy in the eye, to be nice to me and to the other colleagues to be from the food they bring to me.
Okay, alright, okay. So there you have it, okay. So that would be alright. This is what he said. This is so we don't have to get nervous, right? If you have such a name like that, there's nothing to talk about. That's what it seems, at least, you know, this is what the Tzaka of Tzofnas Haneach, it's extremely mistaver that it should be that way, so therefore that would not be a problem. Yeah, sir. Yeah.
What is the equivalent to marry
the
someone calling him this by people and also his older son? What about someone that is the other way around? Most of the time, you're going
to be... Okay, we'll get to that also. We'll get to that. Fine. All right, so... So what do we do about this? Alright, I don't want to go over the timer. So what do we do about this? Right? So now it would seem, I just want to point out a little further, that if you looked at the Maharam Shit carefully, it would seem that his understanding of the Medrash, that the reason why the Jews were redeemed from Mitzrayim was because they didn't change their names, so that would be, in other words, it's the same idea, that what if, you know, if you ask yourself, because you didn't change your name, you get taken out of Mitzrayim, what kind of thing is that? So the explanation apparently would be that because the whole idea is not to assimilate, not to mix in with the Goyim, to stay apart, so therefore, they, in their concern, in their zeal not to be taken in by the Egyptian culture, they didn't change their name. This is according to the Pesach of the Maharam Shik. So this is all, as I would say, perhaps, the business. Right? Now you'll say so, but so what does that say for us? We have so many people who go by English names. So the argument, to begin to create an argument to be lenient, would be to look at the Shulchan Aruch, which discusses the concept of Chukas HaGoyim, and that could be found at the beginning of the second sheet. And that is, there are many opinions, if you look through the Rishonim, and what exactly constitutes Chukas HaGoyim, right, there are many, many different opinions as to, you know, does that mean that, you know, anything that a Goy does is prohibited for me to do? We need sort of a context, a perspective, how do we frame the idea of Chukas HaGoyim? So there is in this area a landmark tshuva that was written by one of the later Rishonim, Rabbi Yosef Kolon, who was known by his acronym Maharik, and his opinion sort of carried the day in the later Poskim. And that is, it's quoted here in the Ramah, in the smaller print in the center. The Ramah says that Kol Zeh, on the end of the first line, he speaks about the idea of being separated from the Goyim, and he says, "V'chol Zeh Eino Oser Ela V'Davar Shenagu Bo'Avdik HaChavim L'Shein Pritzus." He says there are two scenarios really which fall into Chukas HaGoyim. Number one is an area where the Goyim have a certain practice, L'Shem Pritzus. For example, it's discussed in the Poskim that it used to be that people would dress in a very humble manner, right? People would dress, they would wear, generally speaking, conservative clothing, they would wear darker clothing, and that was a sign of humility, and it became the practice amongst Goyim to wear red, loud clothes. And this idea was an idea of priestess. This was breaking the barriers. This was a concept of being more audacious, of being perhaps, you know, getting into actual priestess, the priestess, the person trying to attract attention to themselves. So that type of thing, says the Maharik, would be one area which Lamaisa is Chukas HaGoyim. And then he says, if you skip down a little bit, he says, "Oh, v'davar shenagu l'minig u'l'chok, v'ein tam v'davar." Says the Maharik, a second area of, practically speaking, Chukas HaGoyim for us, the halacha, would be a practice that the Goyim have where they don't have a reason why they do it. They don't have a reason why they do it. It's a chok. They just do it. It's an accepted practice without a reason. He says, "The ikul amechesh be mishum dake hamori v'sheyesh bo shemet avodas kochavim me'avodaseyim." Where there's room to consider, there's room to say that why does the Goyim do this? Now they have a practice. You say to yourself, why do they do this for? It doesn't make any sense. What's the reason? So there's room to be concerned that perhaps this is a holdover from previous generations. Goyim apparently also has some sort of Mesorah, right, that they're holding over from the previous generations, that it came from their forefathers, who was originally a practice of Avodah Zarah. Today, they forgot about that, but they still do it. So therefore, says the Maharik, those are really the two areas where if one did either of those two things, one would violate the mitzvah in the Torah of Chukas HaGoyim. Again, to summarize, what are the two? Right, the first one is to adapt a goyish anhaga, a goyish mode of behavior, or a way of dress, which is l'shem pritzus, which is dedicated towards breaking ground, breaking barriers, doing away with values of the past. Right, that's number one, which, by the way, just as an aside, this is a different discussion, a much longer discussion, but this is something which is very, very relevant today. very relevant, particularly so in the dress of women, because of the fact that the styles of the Goyim, as we all know, are styles which are driven by pritzos. There's no question about it. You go into any of the stores and you see that immediately, that that's an enormous factor in determining the style. And therefore, you know, we say that the Jewish stores advertise that they sell tznius clothes. So you say, well, there's an inyan of tznius, but you have to realize that the inyan of tznius is not just tznius. You know, tznius is a little bit of a vague term, and everybody sort of has their own definition of what tznius. But to wear styles which are not tznius, very, very likely in our time would be a violation of the Torah law of going to Chukas HaGoyim, according to the Ma'arish, because that's what he's saying. He's saying that how does one violate this mitzvah today if you adapt something that the Goyim do with shame priests? Or as if it's just a question of Goyim wear it for honor. In other words, for example, practical application of this would be that, you know, if the style changes, that the men's suits, you know, from single-breasted to double-breasted, or from two buttons to three buttons, four buttons, whatever it is, right? So there, it would be hard to say that there's any issue of creases. It's just a style, right? There's nothing wrong with that. And so too, even where, you know, used to be the custom, it's been done away with to a certain degree today, but it used to be you would get an invitation to a fancy wedding and it says black tie. Right? Black tie, which means you have to go out and get yourself a tux, or maybe you have one already, right, and wear a black tie, a bow tie, whatever, right? So there, that, even though clearly that's Chukas HaGoyim, we don't really have pictures of Gedolei Yisrael wearing tuxedos. Nevertheless, again, there's nothing wrong with that. That's just that they do that for honor. That's done with kavod. And I would go a step further, and I think maybe this is stretching it a bit, but so too, if a person would go, let's say, to a graduation ceremony, and they tell you to put on a cap and a gown, so you say, that's Chukas HaGoyim, you know, this is a Goyish thing. But it would seem that it wouldn't be, because, again, this is a symbol of honor. This is not, you know, whether you agree or disagree, okay, you say, well, we have our own symbols of honor, maybe so, but to say that that's Chukas HaGoyim, it would be hard to say. But when it comes to the styles that are clearly L'shem Kritzus, so then he says, clearly, this is the Tzak of the Ramot, what we go by. Right? And for those Sfarim here, the Mechaber, the Beit Yosef doesn't disagree with this. Right, so they both, if you look in the Beis Yosef itself, you'll see that he brings the opinion of the Ma'arik, and therefore everybody accepts this as a standard. This is something that, I'm just saying this as an aside, that you really have to think about, you know, in today's world. But that would be problem number one. Problem number two would be if it's a non-Jewish ritual where you don't know what the reason is for that, to just simply say, I'm going to do what they do, that also says the Ma'arik would be Chukas HaGoyim. You know, in our culture, I can't easily think off the top of my head of such an example of this. I mean, you know, you might say, this is probably a bad example, but, you know, let's say when I was a kid, I grew up in a neighborhood that wasn't so heavily Jewish, so on Halloween night, you know, you had a lot of kids coming to the door trick-or-treating, and I remember being envious. You know, we always gave them because, you know, you live in Dulles, you don't want to cause trouble. And I remember thinking, wow, this is a pretty good racket they have going there. You know, you see these kids open up the pears and everything, you know, they're having all kinds of wonderful things. And you think, you know, so, you know, well, I'll put on a cap and I'll go trick-or-treating also. Right? So what if he's so bad? I won't tell anybody, right? My revenge will never know. Right? And I'll have a snack for school for the next 2 weeks. Right? So that probably would also be an example of Chukas HaGoyim. But this is the Hachra, this seems to be the bottom line, the Psak of Ma'arik, which is accepted by the Poskim. This is the definition or the practical application of Chukas HaGoyim. So that being true, you will say, well, then, he doesn't say anything about having non-Jewish names, so that's it. We're out of the problem. It's over. Right, it's over. Let's see what time it is. It's too early. Right? He would say it's over. Right? But the truth is no one ever has a problem when a shiur ends early, but the fact is that, you know, at this point, we stop right here. So, you know, it's very nice what the Rambam said. The fact is, the Rambam's psak is not fit to be the Hachra and Halacha, the Rambam obviously was one of the pillars of Halacha, but we don't go by every single thing the Rambam says to the, you know, that that's it, right? We have the way to Poskim and the Machriya, different things. So you'll say, no problem. But if you think about it, you'll say, you realize right away that even if you will say that, that perhaps this would be a question on the Marik, to the Marik to go and say it's an Issa-Daraisa, so you'll say, alright, to say it's an Issa-Daraisa, so the Marik is only discussing what is a violation of the Issa. But we know there's one of the basic concepts in Yiddishkeit, which is unfortunately all too often forgotten, especially in our time, is a three-word concept which we find in the Gemara, and that is Rachmano Libavoy. Rachmano Libavoy means the Torah requires the heart, which means that there's not just the law, but there's the spirit of the law, right? And therefore, it's not just a question of, well, technically, if you hold up the Shulchan Aruch to the light, you know, and you put on very strong glasses, and you read it, you know, very carefully, it doesn't say that I can't do this. But there's the spirit of the law, and the spirit of the Chutzis HaGoyim certainly still applies. So even if you will say the Marik is discussing when a person would be over the Yisr, in other words, to say I was over the Yisr of Chukas HaGoyim, that you'll say not, okay, a non-Jewish name doesn't fit into these categories. However, you know, perhaps today there may be some, I've never met a young Jewish boy named Elvis, but if anyone ever had that idea, you know, maybe that, he was Jewish. I know they saw him in Kmart also last night. The fact of the matter is, I don't know about that, but such a name like that maybe would fit into this. But at the end of the day, most names would not, but like I say, there's the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law, clearly. And if one looks at the Sefer Achinah, it's very interesting, in the Mitzvah's Milah, right, you'll say, what in the world, how did this make it onto the sheet? That's right, true that the sheet was prepared late at night, but we wouldn't make even such a mistake. Right, it says in the second paragraph, the Chinuch says that what's the concept of circumcision of Pris Milah? He says, Kisharot HaShem Yisparach, L'kfoa Ba'am, Asher Hivdil, We'll think about Shmo, Os Kavua V'Kufam, L'Hasbiwa Mishara Am, and V'Tzura V'Kufam. Which means that the opinion of Pris Milah is that God wanted that a Jew should be different from Goyim, even physically, even in terms of the physical body of the Jews. In other words, to such an extent do we go to separate ourselves from the Goyim, that even the physical body of a Jew should not be the same as that of a Goy. And therefore it says the Chinuch, this is the union of Pris Milah. So here you have it. So, you know, so you'll say, alright, you know, on the one hand, again, for a Jew's body not to appear, to appear the same as a Goy would not violate the Marik's rules. Right, but nevertheless, the concept, the spirit of the law, what's the theme of the Torah, the theme that the Torah is trying to get across, is not to be similar to the Goyim. So that being the case, so then, you know, still, you'll say that it's not an Issa D'oraisa, at least according to the Marik, you know, again, the Rambam, apparently, the interpretation of the Maram Shik in the Rambam is that it would be a D'oraisa, but you see, apparently, the Hachlo and the Poskim is not, but nevertheless, it would still not seem to be the right thing. It would still not seem to be the right thing to do. So, you know, we still have to do a little better in terms of getting it back to where we are today. So the poskim, this is discussed in a number of Tshuva Svarim, and one of the places where it's discussed is in a sefer of one of the Gedolei Achronim, one of the early Achronim, in terms of the Shailos and Tshuvas that we have, Maharaj Dam. And the Maharaj Dam was asked the Shaila, very interesting, a sad Shiloh that he brings the case that he was asked by Jews who had been evicted from Portugal in the time of the Spanish Inquisition. So they came over and they, you know, had been assimilated. Many of the Muranos, you know, they completely assimilated, at least outwardly, and they took on completely non-Jewish names. And he was asked, you know, now, so the Shiloh, the immediate Shiloh that he was asked was that now this person sort of was chozer b'tshuva, now the person came, they anyway were thrown out, it didn't help their attempt to adapt, to assimilate did not help their status, and therefore they were evicted from Portugal, as they were from Spain a few years earlier, and they ended up in Europe. And now the question was that they still had holdings, they still had business to conduct in Portugal, and all the documents that were there were on their non-Jewish names. And this person who had been a Marano, who came over and now changed his name and took on a Jewish name, wanted to know if there's any problem when he corresponds back to the old country, you know, is there any problem writing his non-Jewish name? And I'm not going to go into the intricacies of the Shiloh, it's a very long Shiloh, a very long discussion there, but there is a Gemara in Gittin which is actually, it's more complicated than it would appear. But I'm just in the interest of time going to present it very simply. We have here the Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis in Gittin says the following thing. The Gemara says, about 6 lines down from the top, the Gemara says, Gittin Abon Mimdina Sayam, the Edom Chasumim Aleyem. Right? It says that if a guest, the question is if a guest would be brought to Eretz Yisrael from overseas, from Medina Sayam, and the names, and there were Edom, there were witnesses signed on it, says this statement here in the Gemara, Afal Pisha Shmoseim Kishmos Otekal Kohen, even though the witnesses signed on the get have non-Jewish names, which would present a problem, what exactly the problem is complicated, one has to be familiar with the ins and outs of Gittin, but it would be a problem even if it was a Jew who had that name, it could potentially be a problem. We'll leave it simple. It had non-Jewish names, which would be a problem. Says the Gemara that these Gittin would be Ksherim. Why? Mipnei Sherov Yisrael Shevechutz Lares Shmoseim Kishemos Ovnikachot. Says here a remarkable thing in the Gemara. The Gemara here goes back a long way. The Gemara says that if you have such a get, you want to know the guy who signed on the get, if the two people signed on the get, are they Jewish? Right? So, you know, these names are not Avnitz and Yaakov, right? We have all kinds of names, you know, that they're non-Jewish names. Who knows who these people are? Says the Gemara that the get can be accepted. Why? Because most Jews who lived in the Medina Sayam had non-Jewish names. So a number of the poskim point to this and say, so what are you going to tell me if the Maharam Shik is right that a person violates an Issa D'Oraisa by carrying a non-Jewish name? So what are we going to say? That all the Jews in Chutz Rover, the majority of Jews in Chutz Lares, right, had non-Jewish names. So they're all Avayonim, they're all people who are going against the Torah. It doesn't seem likely that should be. One could look in the Rosh on this Gemara even further that it was true even by shameless Mufakim Shogoyim, even that, you know, some names are relatively tame and neutral, but, you know, there are some names that are distinctly Jewish. You know, when I was growing up, so in the neighborhood that I lived, there was a shul and the rabbi of that shul, I will not say his full name, but the first two parts of his name was Rabbi Paul Blank. Right? So now Paul, you know, is not from the great, you know, you would say, you know, that's not already a neutral name. You know, that's already more slanted, more of a name that was, you know, more of a Goyish name. Certainly, Paul is not one of the great heroes in Jewish history, right? The original Paul. Nevertheless, right, this was a name. And the Rosh says that this was true even in those days that they had Shemus Mephakim Shalot the Kochazim. So it seems from the Gemara that people did have those names. That people did have those names. And the reality is that if you consider, you know, if you look in the Rishonim, you know, you see even some of the greatest Rishonim you have on the Rambam, the one of the great commentaries on the Rambam is called the Magid Mishnah, and the author of that, his name is printed in all the editions of the Rambam, his first name was Vidal, right, which was a Spanish name apparently at that time, and he carried that name, right, so he didn't even put the name he was called up to the Torah. It seems that was the name that he was called up to the Torah with, right, which is even more, right, so you see that, and we find even that there's a Tosus, I couldn't remember where it was, I would have brought it down, there's a Tosus which refers to one of the Rishonim, Tosus somewhere in the Shas, which refers to one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Hei Tes Resh, which in yeshivas would be read as heter, but you know, if you make an honest assessment of the situation, you say, what was that name? Probably, right? You know, and we would spell it P-E-T-E-R, right? Another not distinguished Jewish name. And here you have one of the Rishonim going by that name, right? So it would seem that these names somehow did make it. And this is what we see from the Gemara. Now you'll ask, how could it be that the Maram Shik was unaware of an open Gemara in the Sechet Gittin, which is all the yeshivas studied this Masechta, and it's towards the beginning, everybody covers this Gemara. How could he have not known that? So the truth is, that's a discussion in its own right, because the other posts can quote this Gemara and say you can't bring a raya from here, but whatever it is, they want to try to mitigate the raya. But the fact is that the Marashtam, who was one of the Gedolei Achronim, said that this is from this Gemara, you see clearly that there would be no problem. So the question is, so coming closer to home, so as far as looking for a basis for a heter, so based on what it says in Shulchan Aruch, right, the Pesach of the Achrav, the Ma'arik, and based on this, and this Gemara, it would seem that clearly it would not be a violation of the Torah law of Chukas HaGoyim, and it would not be, it seems that this was even the practice. That this was even the practice that many Jews had non-Jewish names, and even, as we said, even from the Gedolim, one could only imagine if you had a Shiloh today, you'd say, this is a difficult Shiloh, we have to ask the Shiloh to the Gadol HaDor. Who's the Gadol HaDor? We're going to go ask Rabbeinu Peter what he feels about this matter, right? So, you know, if you had that today, right, you'd be appalled to say such a thing. But yet, apparently, that was the case. And you find it with other Rishonim. You look through, especially the Spanish Rishonim, the Gedolei Sfarad. If you look, a lot of the names that you see that are quoted in the Rishonim are names that are clearly not Jewish in origin, and apparently that was the minhag. So the question is, how do we relate to this? Meaning that we said already, so to say, like the Maram Shik, that it's an Issa D'oraisa, that's already radical. That's already a radical thing, and, you know, apparently the consensus of the poskim is not that way. Right? And it seems from Shulchan Aruch, even the Pesach of Ramah is not that way. But the question would still remain, but what about the spirit of the law? After all, Walshinu Eshman, we said, the Medrash says it was on this basis that they were taken out of Mitzrayim. Right? They're taken out of Mitzrayim. And here we sit in Golis, you're waiting for Mashiach, and then we have a Chazal right in front of us, and we don't seem to care. Right? So why is that? So the answer to this can be found in the Igros Moshe, which unfortunately did not come out. It was cut off a little bit at the end of the line, but you could look it up on your own. Igros Moshe, in the fourth volume of Aruch Chaim, in the 66th Tshuva, he writes the following thing. Rav Moshe Feinstein says it's very interesting, that when the Chazal say that the Jews were taken out of Mitzrayim because Loshinu was Shemam, that was one of the reasons. So Rav Moshe says that's because at that time they had no Torah and no mitzvahs. And therefore, what was there to distinguish a Jew from a guy? What was there to distinguish a Jew from a guy? Today you say, well, I go into my house, I walk in, I already have mezuzah, I walk in, I have svarim to study Torah from, right? I walk into my kitchen, I have all the words of kashrus. Right, so I'm very separate. You know, I can't have a problem there. I can't go out to lunch with my fellow workers. There's a lot of hafdola. There's already a lot of hafdola that's going on. So Rav Moshe says that. Therefore, he says that it could very well be that what the Medrash says, even though we're not going to say that it's you know, we can just disregard what the Medrash says. Obviously, the Chazal are speaking to us, and there is still the spirit of the law. Nevertheless, Rav Moshe says, as far as the halachic problem, he says, very, you know, even Lamaisa, he says that the Woshinu Eshman was something which loomed large back in the day, back when they were in Mitzrayim, because they had to stay away from the Goyim, and they had very little else to keep them separate, right? And further, he says that the fact that they preserved their Jewish identity was a siman that in their belief that there was going to be a Geulah. That there was going to be a Geulah, right? And he says that would be the explanation for why it was in this merit that they were taken out of Mitzrayim. Not just because they didn't assimilate with the Goyim, but in a sense, in the bigger picture, why did they assimilate with the Goyim? Because they believed that one day, that as bad as it is, that they were suffering in Mitzrayim, and it seemed hopeless, and they were in the lowest echelon of society, nevertheless, there was the belief that one day Hashem will take us out. So he says that, therefore, the zchus shel shinu eshmam, they were taken out of Mitzrayim. Practically speaking, for us, to say that this should be a halachic issue, so Ramesha says, he, if you read it carefully, he doesn't say it as a 100%, he says that, you know, he's afraid to say it without proof that this is so, but he says that, practically speaking, to say, you know, the names, that to say that it would be prohibited, it would be wrong, it would be wrong for a person to go by a non-Jewish name today, he says he has a hard time to say that it would be wrong. So that really would bring us to where we are today, the halacha that it's not really the wrong thing. Now, it happens to be, I'm sorry we're over the time, I'll just finish in a minute, right, as far as is it 100% the right thing to do. So it's interesting, the Maram Shik himself brings down a story that happened to him. He says in Hungary, he went one time, I don't know where it was, he went to some office, and a non-Jew came over to him, and he said, I don't understand you people. He said, you know, here in Hungary, we go by Hungarian names. Why do we go by these names? Because this is our, you know, we're proud. These are the distinctly Hungarian names, right? We don't have Chinese names, right? We don't have African names. We don't have French names. We have Hungarian names because we're proud of our heritage. He said, you people have a heritage that's much greater than what we have. It's much greater. You go back much farther in history than we go back, and you have a very, very proud history, and therefore I can't understand how come I see so many Jews who are taking on the Hungarian names. It doesn't make sense to me. This is what the Maram Shik writes. It's a story that happened. So in terms of practically, to say that it's us, we cannot say that it's us. Obviously, you know, that everyone now can say that Baruch Hashem, you know, now we could, you know, but the fact of the matter is, and again, you know, there would be no history involved, but, you know, you have to consider that, you know, what would really be the right thing to do. Now, the truth be told, you know, in every situation, you know, we're a product of, you know, American Jewry, you have to look back at what was the origin of American Jewry. And Jews for a long time did not gain acceptance in this country, and the only way that you could really be accepted was to sort of, at least in name, fit in with the Goyim, and therefore people took on a lot of the non-Jewish names that we have today, right, with, you know, even people who carry the Anglo-Saxon names, but never, you know, that's because that's what it took. That's what it took in this country, and so it was with the Jews in Spain and different Kufos. In other times, you know, the Maram Shik, to be honest, was living in a time that he was a big fighter against the Reform movement, and the Reform movement was very strong in taking on non-Jewish names, and it could be that some degree that was, you know, part of his thinking as well. Migdar Milsa, that we have to put an end to this. But the fact is that, you know, for a person who carries an English name, there's nothing wrong. But in terms of naming our children, so we still have to remember, you know, there still is a concept of Hoshino Lishman. There still is a concept of not admiring the Goyim. There still is a concept of being proud. You know, we have many tzaddikim. The names in the Torah, the names that we have, the beautiful names. You know, it's not just, sometimes we get short-sighted and who's the child named after? The child named Yitzchak. So my grandfather Yitzchak. But there's also Yitzchak Avinu. And there's also many other great people by those names. So you have to take those things into consideration as well. That there's something that we should be proud of. And I would just end that it's Mamash and Yonah Yoma, because, you know, you see the change of the time. If you look at the names, the great American names, who's going to be the symbol of an American name? The President of the United States. So in recent times, we've had such names as George and William and Ronald, right? Okay, these are the American names. But this week, they're going to swear in a man by the name of Barack Hussein Obama. And he's going to be none of those names. You say, you know, what kind of name is that? You could say that about all three of them, right? What kind of name is that? So the fact is, among other things, it's a sign of the change in the culture. That no longer do we have to hold on to the president, the outgoing president, George, is a taker to the great George Washington, you know, the founder of our country. But what's now? Right? So the times have changed. So if the times have changed, one really has to think that before, you know, it's true that today in America people use all kinds of names, and there, you look on the internet, you can find the popular names, and every year the most popular names, and people sometimes like those names. But a Jew always has to remember that in the spirit of the law, Abdul Hashem we law, Hashem says that you're separated to me as a nation. We have a lot to stay away from, and we have a lot to be proud of, and therefore in the reality, while it may be mutter to carry non-Jewish names going forward for our children, maybe we should consider a nice Jewish name.